The other day I was at Sam's and I noticed that they're already putting out Christmas stuff. And I already have heard people there at Sam's complaining about it, complaining about the fact that it's not even Halloween. They used to at least wait till Thanksgiving. Now it's not even Halloween, and they're getting the Christmas stuff out. But you know what? I thought back to when I was a child, when I was a kid. And I think back then, my folks would have loved it if they started to talk about Christmas before Halloween. They might have liked it if they started talking about it on Labor Day, even the 4th of July. Because my folks had instilled something in me. They had instilled the idea that you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, and he's making a list and checking it twice, and he's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. That's kind of creepy, isn't it? He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Now, even those of us who weren't sure we believed in Santa Claus anymore got the message. Christmas is coming, it's time to behave. And my parents seemed to feel like that was a good message. They wanted my sister and me. Most of the parents in my neighborhood wanted their children to connect good behavior with rewards. And you know what? I was taught the same thing in Sunday school. The Sunday school I went to, which wasn't a Unity Sunday school, the Sunday school I went to taught me to think of God kind of like Santa in that song. Taught me that God's got a list. And on that list, God is writing down certainly all my sins and misbehavior, all the times I'm naughty, and hopefully all the times I'm nice. And the impression I got in Sunday school was, maybe not here in this life, maybe here in this life, bad things can happen to good, deserving people, and good things can happen to bad people, to naughty people. But in the afterlife, I was taught, that was all going to change. God was going to take out that list, tally up the plus side of the columns, the good deeds, subtract for all the sins, the misdeeds, and the figure God came up with would determine if you got to be with the nice people and get your reward, or end up with the naughty people and get your punishment. Maybe not in this life, maybe not here, but in the hereafter, the score was going to be settled. And God was into settling the score. God was into keeping score. That's what I was taught. But is God really like that? I mean, I know a lot of us are like that. If we're honest, especially if somebody wrongs us or somebody has a different political point of view than us or a different set of beliefs than ours, there's a little part of us, what Edgar Allan Poe called the imp of the perverse in us that likes to say, well, they're going to get there someday. God's going to get them for that. But is that really what God's like? Is God really and truly like Santa in the song? Oh, well, certainly not all. There are some writers from the Old Testament that seem to have that idea, seem to project these very human feelings on God. The author of the last book in the Bible, Revelation, may have had that attitude, although that Bible's pretty symbolic. And there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians today on Facebook that seem to have that attitude, that religion's about keeping score, and that the bad people, the naughty people, are going to get theirs. And what they're going to get is nothing they're going to want. They're going to pay. But I don't know that that is even in human beings a very good quality. Surely we've all known someone that was always keeping score, always trying to settle the score, always holding grudges and wanting to get even. Are those people you like to be around? They're kind of unpleasant. And when we get caught up in that attitude, does it make us nice to be around? When we're angry about how, does that bring out the best in us? No, it doesn't. And I suspect this keeping score attitude, this keeping score mentality, is an example of our trying to imagine that God is made in our image and after our likeness, rather than the other way around. Well, what did Jesus have to say on it? I am a believer in the concept that you can't really believe in Jesus if you do believe Jesus, believe what he taught. And Jesus taught some things that kind of call this getting even, settling the score, reward and punishment attitude into question. For example, and please be patient, I packed all my Bibles already except this one. So all my big print ones are in the box under many other boxes. And this one has, Bible-sized print, so I may have to hold it up pretty close to my face or maybe pretty far away, we'll see. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said of old. He's talking about the Old Testament teaching. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, this is the New Testament teaching, do not resist the evil person, the one who injures you. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. He goes on, you have heard that it was said by men of old, Old Testament times, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, this is the new teaching, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven. Because God makes the sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and makes the rain fall upon the upright and wrongdoer alike. Well, shoot! You do good, it rains anyway. You do bad, sun shines anyway. Shoot! If God is not keeping tabs of naughty and nice, why not just be naughty? Why ever be nice? Well, we should be good. And you know why? We should be good for goodness' sake. For goodness' own sake. As Emily Cady wrote in Unity's oldest book, Lessons in Truth, God is not, as many of us have been taught to believe, a big personage or man residing somewhere in a beautiful region in the sky called heaven, where good people go when they die, to see him clothed in ineffable glory. Nor is God a stern, angry judge, just waiting an opportunity somewhere to punish bad people who have failed to live a perfect life here. God is spirit, the creative energy which is the cause of all visible things. God as spirit is the invisible life and intelligence underlying all physical things. God is not a being or person having life, intelligence, love, and power. God is that invisible, intangible, but very real something we call life. God is perfect love. God is infinite power. God is the total of these, the total of all good, whether manifest or unexpressed. God is the totality of good, whether manifest or expressed. God isn't a big man with a long white beard like Santa's, or Tony's on occasion. And he certainly isn't a petty man who's always checking up on everybody else and telling them what they did wrong. Or an angry man, always wanting to get even and get revenge and punish people. God is love. Not loving love itself. God is goodness itself, the very quality of goodness, and that universal, unconditional love that is God, that infinite goodness that is God, is all around us, all the time. We live, move, and have our being in it, immersed in it, surrounded by it, engulfed in it. God is all good, everywhere present. God is all good, everywhere present. However, the all good and all love that is God isn't everywhere apparent. And you know what? That's where you and I come in. That's why we're really here. Not in church, in life. Our purpose in being is to take God's infinite good and love and bring it into expression wherever we are. And most especially where it seems most absent. I mean, you don't have to turn on the light in a room that isn't dark. You don't have to add love, although you probably will, in a room that's full of love. You don't have to forgive someone who hasn't done anything that needs to be forgiven. Our job is to look for all the places and all the people that are in the dark about the goodness and love that is God, and bring that goodness and love to light. That's why we're here. God's love is infinite. God's goodness is endless. We are here to bring that infinite love and good into finite expression wherever we go. Life is a journey, like a journey exploring a huge mansion that has an infinite number of rooms. And as we go from room to room through life, through the many mansions that Jesus spoke of, every time we come to a room that's in the dark, we turn on the light. That's our job. Every time we come into a room that's in darkness, we do our best to turn on the light. That's why we let go of naughty and focus on nice. Because when we focus on nice, what we're really doing is bringing the God presence into focus. We are taking that infinite, inexhaustible goodness of God and bringing it into expression right where we live and in the places where it most needs to be brought into expression. Because good in expression is God in expression. love in expression is God in expression. And we are the channels of God's expression. We carry God's light wherever we go. That's our job. When we focus on the negative, on the evil that others have done, what happens is we turn away from the presence of God. If a room is already in darkness, it doesn't need more dark. It needs light. When we focus on the negative, we can't see God, and we can't find good. Really express love. Because when all we're thinking about is our hurt and what somebody else has done wrong, and maybe you've done that with someone you loved before, does it make it easier to love them? No, it makes it impossible to love them. Doesn't mean the love isn't there, but those emotions that rise up in us, those dark feelings that rise up in us when we dwell on what's wrong, when we dwell on the naughty list, they cut us off from being able to express or experience love, to see anything good about that person. When we focus on the good, even though there may be plenty of darkness there, there's hope we can love. There's hope good can be manifest. Not yesterday when the thing happened, because yesterday's about a memory, but today and tomorrow. And that, my friends, is our only real hope in this life. That's why Paul instructs us to dwell on the good, to fix our minds on any virtue, on anything worthy of praise. Because when we fix our mind on those things, when we dwell on those things, we open the door to God's good, which is a real thing. Just like the light fixture in the dark room is a real thing. There's a light in that dark room, but it's got to be turned on. It's got to be turned on. So often we go through life like someone who would walk into a dark room, and instead of switching on the light, they just sit in the corner and complain about how dark it is. I just hate how dark it is in here. I can't read. I can't do anything. This is terrible. Why am I sitting in the dark after all the good things I've done? I've been such a good person, and here I am in the dark. Well, in a dark room, the lights don't automatically go on because you're a do-gooder. And by the way, when you call somebody a do-gooder, is that always a compliment? But the light doesn't always go on the second the good, nice person walks in, nor do they automatically go off when someone we don't like so much, we judge to be a bad person, when they walk in. No, the light goes on for anyone, good or bad, that throws a switch. And the light stays off for anyone, good or bad, that doesn't. Like the boss said, God lets his sunshine and his rain fall on the righteous and those we would judge to be wicked alike. Now, I'm not saying, and Paul's not saying, and Jesus Christ is not saying, that we should ignore the appearance of evil. We shouldn't ignore it, but it should tell us that that's something we need to address in a positive way. As Paul writes in Romans, Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in attitude to you. Bless and do not curse them. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble. As far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone and never avenge yourselves. Do not let yourselves be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we see evil, instead of allowing ourselves to get caught up in it, allowing it to overcome us, our first thought should be, I am here to overcome it. I am here to turn on the light where there's darkness. I am here to put some love into a situation where love seems to be absent right now. I am here to put some good in a place where the person I'm talking about appears to be, well, no good. One of them. God needs to be brought to light here. And who's the one that's going to bring God to light here? If you see the problem, you volunteer to fix it. If you see the problem, you know what that means? The Almighty, the intelligence and infinite wisdom that is God, sees in you the potential to do something about it. But to realize, to live up to your divine potential, you can't get caught up in the negative. You have to make yourself, and you know, folks, this stuff is simple, but it isn't easy. When you see something that just looks plain wrong to you, when you see someone that just really seems totally in the dark, it is so easy to get caught up in that. It is such a temptation. But if we do the hard thing, if we put God into the situation instead of taking God out of the situation, we will put a power greater than our own to work at healing that situation, that person. We will be a force for good, which means we will be a channel for God. So, if you've been keeping a naughty list about other people, about all their sins, about all their shortcomings, about all the things they've done to you or done to anyone, the first step toward getting a grown-up God concept is throw that list away. And then, if you've been keeping a similar list about yourself, about all your own shortcomings and limitations, all the things you're embarrassed about, all the things you hope nobody knows, all the things you feel guilty about and ashamed of yourself for, throw that list away too. And when you've got your naughty list thrown away, then you've got one thing left to do. Throw your nice list out too. Throw your nice list out too. Don't keep score. Don't imagine God keeps score. Why should you? We're taught life is eternal, so if that's the case, this life is part of eternity. In this life, are wrongdoers always punished? Well, sometimes, and sometimes they get away with it, don't they? Sometimes they even seem to prosper. In this life, are good people, nice people, always rewarded? Well, sometimes. But a lot of the time, nice guys finish last. And if that's true in this life, why should we believe it's going to be true in the next part of our eternal life? I mean, whoever came up with that concept should be the patron saint of used car salesmen. I mean, because they've been selling and we've been buying this idea forever, and it's just not true. The sun shines and the rain falls on the good and wicked alike. But if we want to heal a situation, we don't do it by accumulating brownie points or adding up somebody else's demerits. We do it by loving and forgiving and seeing the good. By putting God into a situation where God seems absent. By turning on the light switch, and our light switch, our God switch, is our own minds and hearts, our own thoughts and feelings and attitudes. And if we can wrestle our minds and hearts into forgiving, even if we really don't want to, into seeing good in places where it's really hard to see, into loving where it's really hard to love, then we can change the world. We can change the world. One little situation at a time. And then we have fulfilled our place and purpose in life. So do switch your attention from darkness to light, from apparent evil to omnipresent good. Turn yourself on to goodness. And do it not because you expect a reward or that you're trying to get on the nice list. Do and be good for goodness' own sake. Let's pray about this. And to center ourselves for our experience of the goodness and love that is God, that truly is God, let us recognize that presence in this place. Let's know and affirm that there is only one presence and only one power in the universe and at work in our lives. God the good, omnipotent. Together, there's only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent. And so it is.